Mic check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
To you from my basement in Minneapolis, and dialing in from Chicago is my good friend,
Brian.
Brian, it's been about, I actually didn't look, maybe 10 days since the last pod. We'll call it 10 days. A couple things have changed. One is that I found my mic, so Hopefully the sound quality is acceptable. The Timberwolves have started the season. They are now 2-2. A couple really exciting games, couple clunkers of games. It's been kind of hit or miss, which we'll get into in a minute. First, Brian, how you been?
Good. Real quick athletic update. I just did flywheel, which is a spinning class, and I got my personal record.
For what?
I don't know. I mean, you,
like the number of times you pedal?
Yeah, there's like a metric they use called power, which is like the speed at which you pedal times the resistance you put on.
Okay. Speed at which you pedal times
resistance. Dude, yeah, let's not spend much time on this. Let's move on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, athletic update. I'm fully healed from the marathon, been running, been bringing my son Jack on some runs. He thinks they're kind of boring. He's not a big fan, but he doesn't have a choice because he's little.
Wait, how do you bring him? Do you push him in the thing, or do you strap him to your chest?
No. Yeah.
Baby Bjorn. I would love to see you running with Jack strapped to your chest.
I don't think that's legit. But no, we have a jogging stroller, so put him in there. We go about 4 miles. He gets a little bored at the end, but for the most part, does okay. However, it's now basically winter. So I don't think we're doing that anymore for the season.
Yeah, dang.
Yeah, I know.
That's too bad.
Everyone's so crushed.
I know. Just so everyone knows, I'm watching the Wolves game on replay from earlier tonight.
Yeah, this is the Pacers game, which just ended a couple minutes ago. Which, Brian, I'm going to spoil for you in the good, bad, ugly segment we're going to talk about.
Oh, no.
You want to tell the listeners you bought a house?
Let's call it a condo to be safe. But yeah,
what would you actually call it? Like a townhome?
I'd call it a townhome.
Okay.
But yeah, first purchase of real estate. I'm grown up now. Moving in a few weeks. Got to do a little repair, but pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. You know, I'm happy for you. However, it means you're probably locked in Chicago for a little while. Obviously, the Two Man Wolfpack fans like it when you're here with the live pods.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they care.
Yeah, I mean,
frankly,
that
they probably they wouldn't even know we're not together if we didn't say in the beginning that I'm in Chicago. But
that's probably true.
Neither here nor there.
Really, I just miss you and wish you were back here. But you found a pretty sweet place in Chicago.
Yeah, you'll have to come see it at some point.
Oh, that'd be fun. Still in the Lincoln Park area for everyone who knows Chicago.
Yep. More detail about my life.
All right. Social Security is coming up in a few minutes.
All right. Can we talk about the Timberwolves?
Well, before we talk about the Wolves, I want to do a brief agenda. It's the agenda time. We're going to hit on some news and notes, get into some games with good, bad, ugly. We have a very, I think, kind of interesting Where Are They Now segment, and then a mailbag segment. A couple of really strong emails this week, which we'll get into in that segment. Timberwolves podcast at gmail.com is where you can find us, or on the Twitterverse at T-Wolves Podcast. Brian, the Wolves are decent. This shouldn't come as a big surprise. However, a couple of the power rankings on the internet did surprise me. NBA.com currently has the Wolves ranked fourth above Cleveland in the NBA, even though Cleveland, a little rocky start, but I'm pretty sure in a 7-game series, I would bet a large percentage of my net worth on Cleveland. And
so
ESPN.com has us at 9th. I'm guessing if you were to do the rankings now after our terrible loss at home against Indiana, these would look a little different.
No spoilers.
But do you think there's any – what do you think of these ratings?
They're trash. 4th? Are you kidding? Did you watch the games? We could easily be 0-4. I'm in like a kind of negative place about the Wolves. I'm a little conflicted, and we'll get into it. But, yeah, 4th is – well, 4th is clearly wrong.
I think a realistic ranking, should we go through this real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So Golden State, Cleveland, San Antonio, Houston. You know what? we beat the Thunder, and we didn't really look worse than them. We could have lost that game, so I won't put them above us yet. The Wizards look really good. Clippers look okay. They've only played two games, so it's hard to tell. And then I feel like I'm missing someone. There's four teams in the West that are, like, definitely better, probably better, and, like, two in the East. Is that it? We're not, like, the seventh best team, though. Are we?
We're probably better than Utah. Washington's close. You're putting us above Oklahoma City. I know we beat them, but...
I guess it's power rankings right now. It's like who's...
How about Milwaukee? Do you have them above us?
Probably better than us. I think we'll end up actually pretty close to their record, though. I would say you could argue we're better than them. Giannis looks amazing, so I'd put them above us right now. So that's seven above us.
So you're putting us around 8-9. That's pretty close to the ESPN.
Yeah, maybe 9. It's not like we've played particularly well, though. That's what's...
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Your point that we could easily be 0-4, I mean, we're literally two pretty difficult shots that went in. If they didn't go in, we'd be 0-4.
Yeah, and one was pretty absurd. One was like a 15% shot, the Wiggins shot. So, yeah, ninth isn't crazy, and then fourth is really absurd.
You know, that's encouraging, though. It's fun to not be in the 20s for a change.
Well, we got a lot of season left.
Brian, I don't know if you saw this. I think this was reported on the opening game against San Antonio, but ESPN did a little tidbit that Jeff Teague reportedly learned his teammates' tendencies by playing NBA 2K18. However, after his new ranking came out, he stopped playing because he's frustrated with his ranking. Your reaction is this a good idea? Is this stupid? Could have you possibly learned anything from this?
Maybe. I don't know what it means by tendencies. You could learn, like, from the ratings what a guy's good at. Like, he probably didn't know if he definitely didn't know coming in if Belly could shoot threes or something like that. Or the fact that, like, Gorgie may have, like, led our team in three-point percentage last year. He definitely learned that from 2K.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's a fun little anecdote, little story, but given the resources that Jeff Teague has available to him, that's probably the worst way to go and learn about your teammates.
Maybe game tape?
Yeah, game tape is available. I'm sure every angle for every game. He has access to some advanced analytics, I'm sure, that aren't publicly available on the internet. And then, by the way, he's on the team. He can just call these guys and, like, get together with them and play.
Yeah. These are all better options than 2K.
Yeah, it almost made me think, did, like, 2K pay ESPN or Jeff Teague for that story? It seems so far-fetched. Anyways.
Not far-fetched. Jeff Teague's the worst.
Jeff Teague has had a challenging start to the year, which we'll get into. Next news, Brian, on our last pod, we talked about Wiggins had not yet signed his max contract, and he signed it. He's locked down 5 years, $146.5 million. We've kind of, you know, beat the dead horse on this one, but your thoughts on the signing quick?
The same as before.
So, yeah, to recap, I believe your thoughts were you'd prefer...
quick.
You prefer we let him become a restricted free agent and
yeah. Match. Again, the downside that we don't pay him right away is people are like, oh, what if he's, like, annoyed at us? It's like, he doesn't play that hard, so what's going to change? And, I don't know, watching the Indiana... Yeah, watch the dude play. He's, like, still terrible at defense. He doesn't really rebound. Though you could argue it's looked a little bit better. Hits big shots, but he's always been able to do that. He shot them last year. He's just had a little bit better variance in the two games that we won. So same dude and definitely not a max player. I think he's empty calories.
So far this year, averaging 25-6-2, basically. Pretty good start to the year.
Yeah, I know. Last year averaged 23 and like 4-2. I don't know. It's like he's a little bit better.
He also looks noticeably, like, stronger.
He looks more like a man.
Yeah, he does. I'm very encouraged by that. He's...
Is encouraged the word you mean to use?
What?
I'm implying you appreciate his masculinity.
I get it. I get the joke. Yes, I am encouraged by it. Anyways, yeah, we've talked about the signing. I think it's fine. The risk of not doing it is he takes the qualifying offer and leaves after 1 year for no compensation, and that would be a complete disaster. I think we can't risk that, and we kind of had to do this. So that's our thoughts on that.
But had to do it. What do you mean had to do it? So what if he takes the qualifying offer and then he leaves? Do you think someone else gives him the max?
Max-ish?
We could have offered another year.
Yeah, but we're saving
which doesn't
that.
Really. What's that?
We're saving that, right?
What? I thought you could always do another another year than the competition if it's your own player.
Well, this was 5 versus 4, isn't that?
That's what I'm saying. Even if he took the qualifying offer and became an unrestricted, we could still offer more.
Oh yeah, I got you. But what if he's like, you know what?
Screw the Timberwolves.
Yeah, he's like, Minnesota's cold. The future is pretty good, but I can go play for, you know, whoever and probably be in a better situation. And he's like, I don't really care if I get the max or not. And he leaves. And
yeah, I think my point is if he would have tested the market, I don't think he would find a max waiting for him. Though he might. He's like, what, 22, 23?
Yeah, he's 22, I think.
It's his fourth year. He's probably 23.
Yeah, I thought he was 23, but I remember like looking this up and he was like younger than I thought.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel great about it.
He's 22.
God, he's so young.
Turns 23 in February.
God, wait till he fills out. He's going to score like 30 points a game.
Yeah, you're getting excited about it.
I know. He's good at offense. I just wish he'd tried a little bit on the other end of the floor.
Yes, we both do. You know, I think Towns has some issues there too, which don't get talked about as much as Wiggins, but they're there.
They're pretty glaring. His have been more noticeable to me this season than Wiggins. Like, he's been the huge disappointment of defense. He can't even slow dudes down anymore. Like, it seems like he's almost gotten worse at defense. He's just terrible at defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. But when I read about Wolves coverage and listen to the games, it's kind of like the consensus is almost like, yeah, Towns is okay at defense. He could be better. But like,
no, he's awful.
I agree. He's really bad at defense.
And what's worried me lately when you watch these close games, he's like had some rebounds late in games, like defensive rebounds that he should have had that he just nutted, like just came out of his hands. Like, Steven Adams got one against him late in the game that it almost cost us the game. I think there was one in the, like a couple in the Utah games. He's not like securing them and bringing them down. They'll like hit his hands and bounce out. Which is a new thing this year. I didn't really notice that last year. And that's what's worrying me. He's not like fighting.
Yeah, it's worrisome. His offense has still been there, but I
agree. Sorry, the other thing, like if you watch the end of the Oklahoma City game, like the last minute, when Oklahoma City focused and they like ran pick and rolls, they put Towns in the pick and roll almost every time. There's nothing you can do. Like, even if he comes over and helps out, it's like, I know it's hard to slow down Russ and Paul George and Melo, blah, 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 but he's just like, he might as well not even be there.
Yeah, that's tough when Russ is in a pick and roll and Towns has to be involved. I mean, no, that's not going to end well for like most players.
I know, but any of the games, like, he didn't look good against the Spurs either. So, yeah, he's my new Wiggins.
Is he the new Wiggins?
Towns is my new Wiggins. He's empty calories. Like, he's so bad at defense.
Yeah, I hope that gets more attention because I think Towns would care if he starts getting such a bad rap for defense, and he would actually get better because of it.
Yeah, Wiggins has made it pretty clear he doesn't care about defense.
No, Wiggins like, is who he is. I mean, Glenn Taylor looked into his eyes and, you know, just decided this is who he is. He's giving him the money.
He's like, well, what do we teach him? It's like, oh, you don't really play defense? Here's all the money we could possibly give you.
I know. That's kind of
now play defense.
That's kind of the dilemma, right? It's like Towns is like heralded as the guy you would start a franchise with. It's like him, Greek Freak, Anthony Davis are kind of like the three guys people talk about a lot. And, yeah, you know, so if you're already like pretty much in the discussion as one of the great young players, you're a shoo-in to get the max deal. It's sort of like, you know, you don't have to play defense. I mean, obviously you do if you truly care about winning, but that's probably not the number one priority for a lot of guys in the league, and I guess I don't really fault them for that.
Yeah, four games in to totally overreact. I would totally take Towns out of that conversation just because.
Well, it'd probably be Greek Freak at this point.
Well, I know he's amazing this year.
Yeah,
but I'm saying like he doesn't even belong in there because he like only plays half the sport. Like Giannis can play defense, Davis can play defense, Towns can't.
That's true. Although I would argue that offense is more than half the sport.
Okay.
But I have a whole theory on that we don't need to get into. Should we move on?
Sure.
The reviews are in of the revamped Target Center, and they're pretty solid. I have not been there yet. Was going to go to the opener, but decided to just hang out with some friends and watch it. It was a much cheaper option, which is nice. But the stadium apparently, you know, still has some issues getting in when it's busy and getting out. I think there's always going to be some Skyway pinch points there. They did not fix those. However, the lobby is larger. The food options are better. And the reviews of the seats are really solid. I'm probably most excited about the seats.
Which game did you go to?
Oh, none of the games.
No.
I was going to go to the opener, and then I didn't. And then the game tonight, I probably could have gone to, but tickets were incredibly cheap to the game tonight. You could get in for like $5.
Nice.
I'd rather be potting with you, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks.
That's really all I had for news and notes before we move on to the next segment. You have anything else you want to add?
Wait, what's the next segment?
Next segment's either Good, Bad, Ugly or Where Are They Now? You get to pick. It's a you pick adventure.
Well, are we going to talk about Jeff Teague for a little bit?
Yeah, I was kind of going to talk about that in the Good, Bad, Ugly, but we can have a little Jeff Teague talk really quick. Looked really bad to start
Jeff
the
Teague,
season.
Not so good.
No, I mean, again, it's now four games, so let's not overreact, but you know, he's averaging something like 13 and 6, I think.
Well, it's down to 10 after bed tonight.
Yeah, tonight was really disappointing because
this is all team.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler didn't play tonight, so you think Teague would have more opportunities to score and run the offense through him. Didn't necessarily happen. I am surprised.
He had two
Ryan,
points tonight.
I'm surprised by how we're using him. And by the way, he didn't play the whole fourth quarter of the first game. For some reason, Tibbs decided to play Tyus in that spot. We're using him a little strange, though. We're not running a lot of pick and rolls with him, which finishing at the basket is one of his strong suits.
Mm-hmm.
We're not running the offense through him as much as I thought we would.
He's our fourth option on offense, but go ahead.
I know. He's also the point guard. You know, generally the point guard does more than dribble the ball up and hand it off to.
So he didn't need to pay $19 million for a fourth option.
Yeah, I still feel like he hasn't found the right fit for himself on the team yet. So I'm not writing him off after four games, but man, it's been a tough four games.
They have not looked especially good. Yeah, I've been surprised how little he's shown. He was better against the Thunder for sure. He looked like a professional. Our spacing at the end of the game is definitely better with him instead of Rubio, but I don't know. Just overall, it's just like it's not worth more money, and like again, Rubio's probably a better passer. So anyway, I'm pretty disappointed with Jeff Teague. I wasn't excited before, I'm less excited now. Can't even trade him. Can't even train him for Eric Bledsoe.
You could not. Would you swap him?
For what?
Eric Bledsoe, if you could.
Are you kidding?
How about a week and a half ago?
Yes. I think Eric Bledsoe is really good. He's like athletic. He gets to the rim. As far as I can remember, he plays defense.
Aren't some knocks on him, though, like, he's a little injury prone. I think he only has like one more year after this year on his contract. And then he's had some attitude issues.
I don't know. He wanted to be in Minnesota at one point, remember?
I do remember that. And Phoenix matched the offer, right? He was restricted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. He clearly has attitude issues. Like he doesn't really want to be in Phoenix. And he just took to Twitter and he's like, F this.
Did you see that? Well, yeah, to your point, the tweet was something like, I don't want to be here anymore. And then,
yeah, and he said he was like at a salon.
Yeah, at a hair salon with his girlfriend or something. That's what he told the GM or coach of the team. And they just like went out and said, like, we don't believe him. He's done.
Yeah, that's pretty great. You know who I like this year?
Huh.
Belly.
I mean, he had one real nice game. He has looked improved.
He's looked improved. I mean, Belly, the talent's always been there. It's just always in his head. But he looks like the guy I want him to be. He was nice tonight. 18 points in 26 minutes.
Yeah, Belly's been he's been stroking it a little bit. He's a quality bench guy right now, which you could not say about him a lot of the time.
No. Sorry, the other thing I want to talk about, but in the point guard situation before we get into good, bad, and ugly, I'm surprised Tyus has gotten as many minutes as he has, and he hasn't really, like, blown me away in them.
Tyus Jones hasn't blown you away while he's on the court?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. What? He's Tyus Jones. Are we talking about Michael Jordan?
Well, basically, I'm surprised Aaron Brooks isn't getting those minutes. Like, Aaron Brooks has proven a serviceable NBA backup point guard. We signed him. Like, Tyus isn't that good.
I'm surprised by that too, actually.
Are we trying to bring Tyus along? I mean, where are we? I guess the question is, like, where are we as a franchise? Is Tyus the dude we're trying to develop right now? I don't know. It doesn't really make sense.
I
don't think he's going to get a lot better, frankly.
I agree. I think everyone's rooting for Tyus, and he's shown some flashes, but can you imagine us being like a playoff team and Tyus playing really at all?
No.
No, I can't either. And I can't see that in a few years either.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thibs has not been playing a lot of guys. I mean, there's plenty of bench guys on the team who have played 0 minutes. Well, until the garbage time tonight, I guess. But yeah, that is a little surprising.
How are you feeling about Thibs as a coach?
I'm fine. I'm fine with him. He hasn't really messed anything up that I've seen noticeably this year. He hasn't blown me away either. The rotations seem to be okay. At times we've had some really bad lineups out there, but only for like a minute or two. So I think that's acceptable. I think he's done an okay job. What do you think?
Can't tell.
Okay, that's good analysis.
Thank you. No, I can't tell. I don't know. The key for us is always going to be getting Wiggins and Towns to play defense. If they can become average players on that side of the ball, we're going to be amazing. If they continue to be terrible and look lost and like not pay attention, then we're going to be a really mediocre team. But that's kind of on him, right? Like, it's his second year with these guys.
Yeah. No, that's true. I'd say the buck stops with him there. I did think Jimmy Butler would be helpful, and he still may be, but...
Yeah, I know. And it's game four. Training camp, we talked about this last time, but like,
really
it blows
short.
My mind. Training camp is like 4 days, then they went to China for like a week and a half, and then the season started.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know when you have time to teach these guys. Yeah, so I don't get the backup point guard rotations. I've been happy with Jamal Crawford. He's the dude we thought he was. But it's nice to have someone on the bench who can kind of do stuff when he needs to, you know?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I think we disagreed a little bit on the signing of Crawford. I thought we would need some scoring off the bench. Obviously, we've gotten the good variant side of Jamal Crawford for the most part to start the season, which makes him seem better than he is. But it's been nice.
We have gotten the good variants. There's also been a lot of Jamal Crawford hype lately. A couple articles come out about him. Jim Peterson loves him. So if Jim Peterson loves him, all of Minnesota loves him.
Yep, that's true.
And in the game, the Indiana game, I just saw the play where he got a steal and then threw an alley-oop to Shabazz to tie the game after we started out being down 30-16. Now it's tied at 42.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think of Taj?
I feel nothing towards... Oh, I do. I don't like Taj either. He's really bad at offense. He's like worse at offense than I remember.
Yeah, he's really bad. The very first game... He was open every time because the Spurs just decided to not guard him from beyond, say, 13 feet. And he just, like, that's not his specialty. I mean...
I thought he could hit that shot, yeah. I thought he could hit, like, a baseline 15-footer. And he just... Man, dude can't hit anything.
No, he can't. And it was a little worrisome when he'd be, you know, trying for some corner threes and bricking them.
I'm okay with the corner three from him for some reason.
Well... When I forget which announcer, I don't think it was the Minnesota guys. I think this was on nationally televised game, but they're like, yeah, he's really been working on that corner three. And it's like, but he's just not very, I don't know.
Good at it.
Yeah. He needs to continue to work on it. He's basically,
what worries me is like, he looks lost when he gets the ball. Like in the end of that Thunder game, like he just got the ball a couple times and he looked like he didn't know what to do with it. Like, I just thought he was going to lose the ball. 'Cause it's like, what are you doing? Like, he just kind of looked around and looked for someone to give it to. And that hurts. And it's not like his defense is so good anymore that, you know, it makes up for it. 'Cause it doesn't. Like, he wasn't really stopping dudes at the end of that game.
He's the new Tayshaun.
Yeah, but Tayshaun was for the vets minimum.
Yeah, I know. That's the difference. I mean, their role on the team is almost identical. And I think their skill sets are really close too.
Yeah, well, Tayshaun could shoot threes.
Yeah, could he? Yeah, anyways, your point of Tayshaun making the minimum and Taj making...
like 14, the average for...
14-ish is starter. A good one. It's
an tough. Average for a starter for like a backup power forward, yeah.
Our team feels a little thin, doesn't it?
Thin?
Yeah, like I feel like we're like a guy short. Like
of what? Short of what?
So tonight, for example, Jimmy Butler's hurt. Obviously, the team played poorly, but
yeah. Then you start Shabazz. Shabazz should not be starting the NBA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so Bozzy gets the start. We give up. I don't know what they ended up shooting, but with a few minutes left in the game, Indiana was shooting like 72%.
The team got worse at defense.
No, we got like significantly worse.
Levine back.
They ended the game at 67%. Looks like they missed some shots at the end. But I mean,
this
they scored
Indiana. This isn't like Golden State.
Yeah, I know. They scored 130 points on the road, you know. So I don't even know how to describe like what player I specifically would want on the roster, but our bench is a little thin. And, you know, it's a little bit of a house of cards. Like one guy goes down and the whole team falls apart. That's it's an initial thought I have from four games.
Why isn't Patrick Beverly worth more money? That's what I don't get.
I don't know. I don't get that either.
Like, I would love to get Patrick Beverly. I would have been happy paying Patrick Beverly like $15 million a year. All he has to do is dribble the ball up. Like, shoot open threes and shut guys down. Because that's all we need. Like, we didn't need to pay another offensive player. Like, I didn't hate the Taj signings. At least he's a defensive player. We may find out that he's, like, a little too old now and that was not a great signing. But directionally, it made more sense. Anyway, I would love to get a guy like Patrick Beverly. I think we need a backup point guard. Tyus is not particularly good. We could use a backup swingman who can... do more. I don't know. I actually don't hate our bench this year, but it all kind of hinges on Belly. If Belly is like an average bench guy, then our bench is solid. And then if not, we're quite bad. Is that dramatic? I don't know. What do you think? Like, Gorgie is a good backup big man.
Yep.
Not a good starting good big man, but a good backup. Crawford's like a good serviceable backup two guard.
Yep.
I'm happy with Belly at the four. Shabazz is Shabazz, and like Tyus is bad at point guard. I don't know. I actually don't feel like we're too thin, but we're just not good enough.
Yeah, I feel like we're a little thin. You know, another area we're maybe a little thin at, and you know, this pod shouldn't be so negative. I think there's still a good chance we're a playoff team, and we're gonna, you know, have a lot of interesting games this year. But through four games, we're 29th in the league at 3-point attempts per game. So not so good.
Yeah, it's been our problem. We didn't really address it at all.
No,
we got rid of Zach and added Crawford.
We've almost just like decided that 3-pointers aren't going to be a big part of our strategy.
Well, the numbers don't make sense.
You know, it's I know. Yeah, it's tough when a lot of teams have figured out that it's a little trick, right? It's 50% more points, and they're not 50% harder for a lot of players. So it makes sense to shoot a lot. Houston's shooting 42 threes per game.
That's amazing.
just incredible.
So sexy.
Yeah. We're shooting 22, which actually isn't bad.
That's a lot for us.
Yeah, I know, but the problem is we've increased over the last few years.
22 is second to last in the league.
Yeah, the league as a whole has gone kind of nuts.
Wow. 30 used to be a shitload. Now it's 40. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Should we move on?
Mm-hmm.
What would you like, Brian? Choose your adventure. Good, bad, ugly, or where are they now?
Good, bad, ugly.
All right. Let's do it. We're going to start with a 107-99 opener. Not home opener, but opener loss at San Antonio. You know, we're competitive in this one. We're actually, I think, winning with
92-91.
Sorry?
We're up 92-91 with like 3 minutes left.
Oh, man. You like have the exact number. Good for you, Brian.
I was watching this and I was like, oh, I feel really good about this. And then we just hit the bed.
Yeah.
And they reeled off like 8 points in a row because they're the Spurs and they're professionals.
Yeah. This kind of felt like a T-Wolves game of old, right?
So yeah.
It's kind
of like,
close.
Of course, we're not going to beat the Spurs.
Yeah. It's like close. And then with like a few minutes left, you get nervous and we end up losing by 8. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
this is how it should feel.
My good from this game was Wiggins. You know, plus minus, not so good at negative 19. However, he was 4 of 6 from 3, 9 of 14 from the field, very efficient, only 4 for 9 from the free throw line. Did have 5 rebounds, which is really nice for Wiggins, and an assist, which is also very nice for Wiggins. So Andrew Wiggins getting my good.
Andrew Wiggins gets the good. My bad goes to Taj. 3 for 11, missed his 2 threes. And the real reason for me, like, Taj isn't there to score, so frankly, he shouldn't be shooting 11 shots. I know they left him wide open, but that's something we have to coach around and strategize around. But only 4 rebounds. If we're going to start Taj at power forward and he's literally there for defense and rebound, and he's got to get more boards. So that's my big problem with it. So Taj gets my bad. And negative 17.
Yeah, that's not so good. My ugly is
But like to be fair, all the starters except Towns, but go ahead.
Yeah, my ugly is going to another guy with negative 17. I'm giving it to Jeff Teague. Did not play in the fourth quarter of this game. You know, didn't look great. I didn't think he looked bad enough to not play down the stretch, but Thibs must have seen something that he shouldn't have been doing that I didn't see.
shouldn't have done that.
He's just a boy. Ended up putting 11-6. Sorry, 11-2-6.
He wasn't that bad,
no,
man.
No, like, I didn't think he was
six
that bad.
Six assists on one turnover, shot the ball fine. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's fair.
You know, I'm still giving him the ugly. I was disappointed. I thought Teague was going to be better, and this kind of set the tone for the next few games for him.
One thing that's nice having Jamal Crawford on the team as a quick tangent is we're not going to have any more of these games where we look at the bench and it's like, oh, all 5 bench guys combined for 8 points.
That's true. I mean, it was lower than that at some games last year.
Yeah, it was absurd. So even this game, I don't think that the bench was stellar, but they were positive. They helped us come back. Belly plus 15, 9 points in 13 minutes. He's our X factor, and I see he will always be.
Isn't it weird how Cole just doesn't play anymore?
Yeah, that's looking like not like it wasn't a great sign. I think he just needs a change of scenery. I just can't believe he went from being like a very serviceable backup center to like a terrible backup center.
I know. I remember when we signed him, we were both like pretty excited. We're like, we got really good value there.
His numbers are great, but I think you brought up a point last pod. It's like, well, he played with Chris Paul, who just like handed it to him to dunk every time, and it looked better. But he got rebounds and stuff. That's what... I don't know where those went, but and his block rate was actually fantastic in his last year with the Clippers, but I don't know. But not anymore.
Let's move on.
Moving on.
197 win. This was our home opener against Ricky Rubio and the Utah Jazz. Brian, one takeaway from this game was Rubio actually had a pretty good game, but it was nice rooting against him. Like, just when he would shoot wide open threes and he'd like drive to the basket and you know, like, oh, that's not going in, and it wouldn't go in. It was just like it was nice. So that was the highlight of the game for
me.
Who's your good out of this one?
You know what? I'm gonna give it to Rubio.
That's nice.
Just to mess with you. 19-10. Went hard to the hole, 10 of 11 from the line, one of three, which is all you can hope for from him. Five boards, two steals. You know what? And it was weird. We were booing the refs at one point because of a call that, like, either I can't remember what it was, if it like didn't go against Rubio or if like someone called a foul. Oh, it was I think the Teague foul when Ricky was gonna airball a three, but he hit his hand like 2 seconds later. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
It was really weird to see the crowd boo when it was Rubio related. I just didn't think that would happen. I thought they'd be like a little more patient, but yeah. So Ricky gets the good.
Yeah, and that's
he just looks. He just looks so good. He added like 10 pounds of muscle. His hair's all long. He got some tats.
He kind of looks like a bad boy now. And
he's probably just destroying Salt Lake City. Just a trail in his wake.
Yeah, he probably is. The Jazz only shot 17 free throws in this game. Rubio shot 11 of them. You know, he wanted to win this game really bad. You could tell. But yeah. Our boy, Jamal Crawford, had other plans.
Oh, good, better, best. That's right.
Yeah. Jamal is going to get my better. He'd probably get my best, but you get to do the best. So 17 points, not much else. However, made a...
Yeah, negative eight.
You know, made a somewhat, to be honest, ill-advised shot to take the lead at the end. But it went in, so I'll give it to him. That's Jamal for you.
That's Jamal. And my best goes to Belly. 13 minutes, 10 points. Through the first two games, he's plus 29 in 28 minutes with 20 points and 10 rebounds. I don't know. That's pretty good, shooting three or four from three in the first two games. I'm very happy with Belly's performance. I always love Belly, as you know. This year so far, he's actually backing it up. None of our starters were particularly good. Like, Towns is fine. He had 20 and 10 with two blocks, but he was negative eight. Butler still hasn't had a strong offensive game yet, so hopefully that comes soon.
Yeah, that's true. He is not. On defense, he's the real deal. That's come across at some important times in some of these games. Getting to your point of Belly's plus-minus being so good, are you saying if we had a team of five Bellies, we win every game by like 100?
Well, if they're all going to be like... Plus 15, yeah.
Oh, man. What if the other team, like, hurts their feelings, though?
They might just not talk a little trash. He gets in his head, and he just, like, throws the ball out of bounds, yeah.
Yeah, they might actually walk off. They might quit.
Maybe. Next game?
It's always a risk. Moving on to this one was incredible. 115 to 113 win at Oklahoma City. We were winning basically the whole game. I think going into the... fourth, we're up by like 11, if I remember right. It was something like that. And I think Dave Benz, friend of the pod, going into the commercial break after the third, mentioned that the Wolves are feeling pretty good about where they're at right now. And I was thinking, I don't. Like, I'm scared. And for good reason. Oklahoma City ends up coming back. Carmelo Anthony makes a three to take a one-point lead with about 4 seconds left.
It was a sick three.
It really was. And you knew it was going in, right? Like, it was, like, for sure going in when he shot it. And then inbounds goes to Wiggins, drives the court, pulls up from, what do you think, 28 feet, 30 feet maybe?
Sure.
And I don't think he called bank. Did you see him call bank? But it went in.
It went in. That's all that matters.
That's true. I woke up my son when that happened because I shouted at the TV in celebration.
What do you yell when something like that happens? Do you just yell, oh?
Sometimes
that's what I yell.
Oh, sometimes F yeah. Those are kind of my two go-tos. I usually do the right-handed low, like, fist bump.
I do that too.
Yeah, and then I look around, it's like literally just like me, my dog, and my like baby son. And it's just like, I'm just a full-grown man, like
just yelling at TVs.
Yeah,
I know, I scared my cat. He didn't appreciate my yelling oh out of nowhere. What's funny is I watched the replay as I normally do, and I knew what happened, but I didn't know how it happened. But even though I knew because you sent a text like, yeah. So I knew we were going to win, but I didn't know how, and that happened, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I don't know the etiquette. Like, I was so pumped I had to, like, talk to someone about it, but I don't know, you're usually watching the games on delay, So I realized after the fact, maybe
you were vague. You were vague enough. I thought it could have been about like something else. I don't know why, but
oh, okay.
So I was still kind of surprised when we won. I was like, oh, we lost, because I thought knowing like something good happened for the Wolves, I thought the Melo three was gonna miss, and that's how we were gonna win.
Got it. So when the three went in,
I was like, oh, he must have texted me earlier or something.
Okay. So it wasn't a huge
pretty basket with them. Like after the Towns bucket, I assume that I thought that could have been like what you were excited about, just because that was so lucky. That was not like a very good shot.
That's true. Oklahoma City. What do you think of Oklahoma City? They gonna win a lot of games?
Yeah, I thought they'd be a little bit better. They had a bad shooting night. Paul George is 6-for-20. Melo was Melo. He shot 9-for-19. That's about Melo-ish. Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Fair enough.
Even that game, they showed they could put up points when they need to. Like, when you have Melo, Paul George, and Russ, and you need to get a good shot off, you'll get a good shot off.
That's true. And they showed that. Wiggins, just a little too good. Ruined it for him.
Yeah.
My good for this game is going to go to Towns. We haven't really said a lot of positive things about Towns, but he put up 27, 12, and 1 in this game. Did have 4 turnovers, 5 fouls, but very efficient night.
Blew that rebound to Steven Adams, gave an N1. Yeah.
You know, 11 for 17 from the field, 2 for 7 from 3. You know, I'd like to have a little talk about Towns. Why is Towns shooting 7 threes?
I'm okay with it.
I'm absolutely not. I
don't know why I'm okay with it.
Here's my problem. Like, his lazy defense, I feel like, is, like, seeping over to his offense. And he just, you know, shooting a three is, like, a really easy possession. It's, like, a low-effort possession. And I'm just concerned he's settling a little bit for those shots.
Yeah. Better is definitely Teague. Teague had his best game as a Timberwolf by far. 19 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Only 3 turnovers, took care of the ball, and got to the line a bunch and shot it well. So Teague, definitely his best game for sure.
Best obviously goes to Wiggins. 10 for 20 from the field, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, Brian. How's that for filling up the box score?
No, that doesn't count. The steals don't count. And also, it wasn't just the 3. He had some really nasty drives to the hoop to keep the game towards the end. Like the spin move when he split a double team with Russ and Steven Adams to get to the rim. That was absurd. He had another spin move on the other side, or another like really nice drive on the other side. He was dialed in at the end on offense. He was really good on offense.
Yeah, he was absolutely dialed in. I thought the starters as a whole in this game looked really good. And looking at the plus minus, kind of proves that out. Plus 21, 10, 2, 14, and 15, respectively, for the 5 starters. The bench in this one didn't get a lot of minutes. Also didn't look super good.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, this was like one of those games where Thibs really wanted to win, so he just played the starters almost the whole game.
Yeah, but no one hit 40, so Thibs is learning.
That's true, actually. Limited 3 guys to 39. Good for him.
Next game?
Yes. Next game was tonight's game, which was final at 130 to 107. Notably, Jimmy Butler did not play in this game. He was not feeling well, so got the DNP. Awful game, Brian. There's no other way to put it. We were winning by 5, I think, at maybe halfway through the third quarter. And then Indiana just went on a massive run. Frankly, this was a pretty embarrassing game for the Wolves. Towns was the only starter who showed up, 12 for 17 from the field. Wiggins, after having such a good start to the year, puts up a stinker, going 7-4-2 in this one. Was basically invisible on offense. Shots
and on defense. If you watch him play defense on a lot of possessions, there's a lot of plays where he's just like doing the Wiggins thing where he doesn't really pay attention, like kind of gets lost.
No, that's true. I mean,
a lot of stuff was his fault. Like the play I just saw, there was his guy cut backdoor. He f***ed up a switch and Sabonis got a layup because Wiggins was just like on his hip, not trying.
This is true.
I don't know. We looked terrible in this game. It didn't really make sense.
No, we looked
like
really
Miles
bad.
Turner didn't even play. We got like We get crushed by Bojan Bogdanovic, Darren Collison, and Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I know. Indiana is not a good team. Like, they had, I think they had 20 fast break points. 20. They had, in the last 15 minutes of the game, there is a lot of open layups and dunks where they'd get a steal from a sloppy possession and just it'd be uncontested on the other end. It was striking. So striking that almost our entire bench got to play because this one got out of reach. Belly was really the only highlight off the bench, Brian.
Well, he is the human highlight reel, so that makes sense. No, Crawford was good. Crawford getting 18 points on 15 shots is good.
I don't know if that's good, but...
That's no. For Crawford, for a Timberwolves bench player, and 9 assists. Where did that come from?
Yeah, 9 assists isn't bad. I didn't know he had that in him.
Yeah, I'm super confused.
By the way, what do you think Wiggins' career high for rebounds is?
11?
I recently looked this up. It is 10. He's done it 3 times. Little trivia tidbit for you.
Little trivia. Okay, good. Good is, did you say Towns already?
No, I don't think we've done a good.
All right, good. Towns is good. He had 28 points, 7, again, only 7 rebounds. We got out-rebounded by Indiana by 15. Not good.
No, not so good. Bad, I have a lot of options with this one, yeah. But it's going to go to our favorite target of the podcast, Jeff Teague. Puts up 2 points, 1 for 7 from the field, 0 free throws. Did have 7 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 3 turnovers.
You don't have to read the whole box score, bro.
Completely disappeared from this game. Just was really bad. I mean, this seemed like the game to me where he was going to start to feel out his place on the team, and he had his worst game of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he did. And ugly, obviously, goes to Wiggins. Terrible defense, bad offense. You could argue terrible offense. He was negative 21, the worst on the team. Looked disengaged on both ends of the floor, and I just hate that he has these games in him. Like, he's just, like, doesn't, like, these games where he just, like, doesn't care. It's really hard to watch.
Glenn Taylor's going to want to look him in the eye again.
You know? I don't know. I can't even joke about it. Like, it, I get really annoyed. I get really annoyed at these games. He's so bad. It's like, you can have bad shooting nights. That's fine. But, like, he just doesn't play hard at all some of these games. It's like...
I know, it's tough. And you can almost predict which games it's going to be. It's usually a weekday game against a crappy opponent where it's either the first or second part of a back-to-back. It's like those are the games he takes off.
And on the flip side, I know this is not a realistic comparison, and it's not a comparison, but I love about LeBron is just dude always shows up. LeBron is never like, you know what, we're playing in Indiana, like I don't give a crap. Like he's still going to have like 20. And when he screws around, he's like, oh, I'll just have like 12 assists tonight. And only 18 points, you know, like he just always comes to play. I don't know.
That's true. I mean, the talent level is a little different between Wiggins and LeBron, but I know what you're saying. The attitude's different too.
Yes, the attitude.
Well, that finishes off the game. Should we get into Where Are They Now and then a quick mailbag?
I would love that.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
All right, let's do it. Where are they now? Brian, as always, stop me when you know who this is. Born in Brantley, Atlanta. Sorry, Brantley, Georgia, which is just outside of Atlanta. Apparently, Atlanta's not a state.
Well, it might as well be.
He attended Brantley High School before playing college ball at Auburn University, where he's known as the most prolific scorer in school history. He actually still holds the school record for most total points. While there, he also gained the nickname of the Rifleman. He was selected fourth.
James Robinson?
No,
that's Hollywood.
He was selected fourth in the 1986 NBA draft.
Okay. I have no idea who this is.
By the Indiana Pacers, where he won Rookie of the Year. He played 6 seasons for Indiana before being traded to the Timberwolves in 1990. He played 2 seasons with the Wolves, where he averaged a career low of 11.6 points per game in 1993. He then played for the Spurs for four seasons, where he broke the record for most threes by a bench player, hitting 164 three-pointers in 1994-95. He finally ended his NBA career with a brief stint with the Hornets and the Supersonics. He then bounced around as an assistant.
Is this Sam Perkins?
No, it's not. I actually forgot this guy even played for the Wolves, so it's kind
of
a hard one.
I'm not going to get it.
I'll give
you
a hint. He was recently in the news for, well, I'll get into it in a sec. Let me just continue. He then bounced around as an assistant coach in the NBA and college before being promoted to assistant head coach with Auburn in 2015. Very recently, Brian, on September 25th, 2017, he was indicted and arrested as part of the NCAA payment scandal.
Oh, I don't know who it is.
He was arrested on six felony counts: bribery, oof, conspiracy, solicitation of bribes and gratuities, conspiracy to commit honest services fraud, honest services wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and travel account conspiracy after allegedly accepting kickbacks for steering student athletes to financial managers. He was ultimately suspended without pay the day after his arrest. I'm talking about Chuck Person, Brian.
Mm.
Remember him?
No. I know the name, but I don't remember him at all.
I remember in like NBA video games from way back when, he was super good at threes. I think in NBA Jam, he was like really good.
He must have been really good at threes if he made that many off the bench in the early 90s. That's a ton for him.
Yeah,
for
that's
back kinda, then.
That was his thing. He was like one of the best three-point shooters in the league. If I remember right, the Spurs on NBA Jam, it was like him and David Robinson, I think, and they were really good.
Sean Elliott?
Yes.
That's too bad. I didn't read about the shakedown. What's honest services wire fraud?
So of his, let's see, of his six felony counts, I don't know what like five of them are. I don't know what honest services wire fraud, solicitation of bribes and gratuities. I understand bribes, but you know, if you're trying to get a little tip here and there, I didn't know that was a crime. And then, travel accounts conspiracy. I don't know what those are.
Mm. All right.
Honest services. So if he's committing dishonest services, is that legal?
Guess it wouldn't be fraud.
I don't know. Anyways, it's obviously kind of sad news that that happened to him, but you know, we'll see. I mean, innocent until proven guilty. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a mailbag, Brian.
You've got mail.
TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com is where it can be found, or at TWolvesPodcast. You can tweet at us. First email is from Jake. Thanks for the email, as always. He said, hello, if we're competing for, say, the 6th to 8th spot in the West around the trade deadline, could you see Thibs trading our first rounder and a player, or just a first rounder, to try to improve our bench? I hope not, Brian. I mean, the answer is yes, Jake. I could see that happening, but I think that's a little short-sighted. Like, what are we going to maybe win one playoff series?
Yeah, he doesn't trade first rounders. He just overpays mediocre dudes. So I don't think he'll be able to do that at the deadline, so I think we're safe.
Yeah, that is true. Plus, I know we have some restrictions on what first rounders we can actually trade. Because I don't think you can trade consecutive first rounders. And given that we traded our first rounder this year, I actually don't know if we can trade our pick this coming year. But
I don't think we can for some reason. I don't know why. I thought it was because everything was still owed to Atlanta until that pick converts to a second round, which I don't think it has yet.
Oh, that could be too. Yeah, there's a chance we don't even have the pick. But I'm also pretty sure you can't trade consecutive draft picks or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you know what? Technically, we probably didn't trade our pick this year, now that I think about it.
All right.
You know what I mean? I think both teams made the pick, us in Chicago, and then we traded after the draft. So ignore what I'm saying. I don't think it applies. Next email is from Mark in Poland. Mark, your emails are always incredible. I'm going to try to read this very quickly in its entirety because it made me laugh. Mark says, Dear Two Man Wolfpack, Well, it's that time of year again when hope springs eternal for Timberwolves fans as we ask ourselves, could this be the year? With the addition of Jimmy Buckets, we have at least an outside shot at a moderate level of happiness. It was probably the best moment in the history of the Two Man Wolfpack podcast when you're recording as this monumental addition to our roster is pulled out of Thibs. Who would have thunk it? One interesting thing nobody mentions, however, remember way back in June of 2016 when Jimmy Butler is on the Bill Simmons podcast? I do remember that. At 3:55 of that pod, he references trade rumors of him being shipped to Minnesota, and he says, quote, "Oh my God, Minnesota, never." What the hell changed his mind, and how come no one ever brings that up? I hope this isn't just a two-year stop for him. He goes on to say, how could you not address ex-Timberwolves player being involved in one of the decade's biggest sports scandals? That is actually where I got the Where Are They Now from this week, Mark. So thank you for suggesting that. I got to stump Brian with Chuck Person, who I would have never got. I would have never gotten that. Anyways, he sent some funny GIFs and some good videos, and he ended the email with hoping that Jimmy Butler will be like Prozac for you guys this year. It was excruciating sometimes listening to two chronically depressed fans try to endlessly analyze what the team's latest failings had been. But as my grandpa used to say, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken. Sincerely, Mark in Poland. Mark, thank you for the email. The GIF is of Chuck Person hitting his head. It's a Free the Rifleman GIF, which is pretty funny. And then some highlight videos of him as well. Really doing the deep dive this week on Chuck Person. You know, one serious thought on your email, Mark, is that I am hopeful this is the year we're not depressed and sort of negative on every podcast. I know even on this one, maybe we're two and two.
We won two close games against good teams, and we're just like so depressed.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know what? The season started okay. I mean, Teague isn't who we thought he could be yet, and you know, Jimmy Butler hasn't really had an offensive showing, but the team could certainly be competitive this year, and that's
yeah.
Exciting.
I still feel good about Butler. We've actually talked very little about Butler, but I'm good with Butler so far.
I mean, he's all, like I mentioned, he was a difference maker in both the Utah game and the Oklahoma City game on defense. Just having someone who's an elite defender just changed the whole complexion of those games at the end, I thought. So, Brian, you got anything else?
No, that makes sense.
That makes sense as a podcast?
Oh, you're asking if we have other fan mail? I thought you were asking about that question.
Oh, no, like anything else for the podcast?
Yeah, we've got
that
tweet.
Makes sense.
Huh?
Yeah, drop it.
All right, Ben D. Schaefer, at Tools Podcast. Frustrating how many mishandled bad passes there were versus Utah. Do you think it will get better? Adam, what do you think?
Yes, I will. I mean, there's still like an element of these guys haven't played together much at all, and they're used to having Ricky deliver those passes, which tend to be a little more crisp. So, yeah, I'm hopeful it'll get better.
Yeah, I think so too. I also love the edge, Ben also says. I also love the edge that Jimmy brings to the team. Fans got so hyped after his spat with Rubio. We didn't talk about that. What'd you think of that?
I liked it.
It was kind of a nothing little spat, but I think it was interesting to see the fans kind of galvanize around that.
That's true. Did you see that Jimmy told like the police officers outside of the locker room, like, don't let Ricky into my locker room?
Yes, which kind of cracked me up. It was totally unnecessary, but it cracked me up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a nothing spat. But you know what? I like it. I like seeing the passion. He felt like Ricky maybe what was the play where they got into it? Like Ricky hit him or something? I don't remember the play, but it was kind of like a nothing spat.
I don't even
spat.
Think he hit him that hard if he hit him. It was a pretty nothing play. But yeah, it's his team now.
Yeah, I like it.
Also, Ben Schaefer says, it would have been fun to meet you guys at the game and buy you a beer. Let the fans know next time you go. He says any way for fans to find you when you go. Next time we're both there, we will try and tweet in advance, Ben, and hopefully we can meet some fans. We tried it once when we were there, but we did it like in the second quarter and no one responded.
Yeah, it made us sad. But
yeah, we just had more beer.
You know, we've kicked around going to a game maybe late December, right, Brian?
We did.
Yeah,
around Christmas.
Yeah, I think producer John's going to be in town, and Nick, long-lost fourth member of the podcast, will also probably be in attendance. So we'll let everyone know before we go though. It would be really fun to you know, hang
for
out
sure.
with some people.
Sam O, I tweeted, anyone else worried about Towns' defensive rebounding? Sam O responded, his defensive help is just as troubling. Doesn't do anything but give his guy easy buckets. Adam, what do you think? Do you agree?
I do agree. It is very troubling. There's a lot of possessions where Towns needs to commit to help or commit to a rebound, and he just decides to commit to neither, and that's really troubling.
Yeah, he's just... So what's interesting the difference between Wiggins and Towns is just the effort piece. Like, Towns is trying, but he's actively very bad at it, whereas Wiggins just doesn't care. Like, Towns is kind of there for the help. He's just unable to help for some reason, which I don't really get.
No, that's true.
And then John Coffey, who I was kind of hoping was a former NBA player, but I don't think it's him, at Teal's podcast, how long is Adam going to wait before he admits he is wrong about Tyus?
I still don't think I'm wrong. Time will tell, but here's the thing, John. John Coffey, former NBA player. It's good to see Tyus succeed, and I want him to succeed, and the team would be very much better for it. It's fun when he goes on these little runs, but he's just really limited. I mean, not through any fault of his own. He tries really hard, but just his size and his ability to move laterally are going to make it really challenging for him to stick around in a meaningful role.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Keep the emails coming, timrosepodcast@gmail.com or tweet us at TWolvesPodcast. The Wolves are back in business, and we are excited. And stick with us, guys. We love doing it, and it's been a fun, 6-7 years, and we're gonna continue. Any last comments, Brian?
Nope.
Thanks everyone.
Good pod.
Thanks everyone for listening, including the international listeners. Talk to you guys in a week or so.
Bye.